Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Salicata back on the fan right now. We are joined by Tom Verducci, of course, of the MLB Network, Sports Illustrated, and Fox Sports. MLB Network will exclusively announce the Hall of Fame election results coming up tonight with Tom part of the coverage starting this afternoon. Tom, before we get into it, you have a vote. What was your ballot for this 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I guess you could say I'm more of an old school guy. Well, I've been voting for more than 30 years, so that makes me old school, right? So I really tend not to fill out the 10 on my ballot, as some people do every year. There have been years I've done that when it's been really crowded, but I think I had four this year, and I've the holdover candidates. I've been voting for Billy Wagner for years. He's the guy I got my eye on today because, obviously, he was five votes short last year. And some of the early tracking leads you to believe that he will get over the 75% threshold. If he does, it's going to be really super close. So that's the one. That's the one borderline guy for me. I think Ichiro obviously is in. I think CeCe Sabathia gets in first pick as well. And I think Beltran probably waits another year. That's my guess.
Tom, can I ask you this? Just to step back from the ballot itself, and we want to throw some other stuff at you, obviously, here. You said you've been doing this for 30 years. Me and Sal have been watching baseball forever as well. When do you think, if you can find a point of demarcation where the standards changed a little bit? Because when I was a kid, like, it was as rarefied as you could possibly have in terms of a whole of accomplishment. And I think we all think it's been diluted over the years. Do you have a sense of when that happened?
I don't know exactly, but I do remember going back years when, you know, there were serious debates about whether guys like Phil Niekro or Don Sutton, 300-game winners, were Hall of Famers. It was not easy to get in. I do remember a lot of interest in Bert Blyleven getting in because he had great numbers, sort of like a Tommy John. Jim Cott was knocking on the door all those years. And then with a lot of sabermetric help and breaking down the numbers, he got above the threshold. That was the one case I remember where sort of the modern numbers really helped a guy who traditional numbers would tell you, man, maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. And, you know, I think also, guys, you have to look at the veterans committees and the flood of people who are going in on those committees. I know it's a different balloting from the writers, but I think it has affected the writers' ballot as well. I mean, I think the standards have changed a little bit. I think you're absolutely right. I don't have a problem with it. It's just the way things evolve. But it is, I don't want to say easier, but it used to be a lot harder to get into Hall of Fame. We're seeing now 2, 3, 4, even a year now, whereas it used to be maybe you had one, a couple of years with some shutouts.
Yeah, the only people that don't get in now are the guys who use PEDs. I mean, everybody else seemingly gets in. Our difference, Tom, BT and I filled out our fake votes before you came on, and we did. The only difference that we have, we both had Manny and A-Rod on, but we understand why you wouldn't. And then BT and I disagreed on, I did not have Sabathia, but I had King Felix. You had Sabathia, but not King Felix. Give me your thought process to why no Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, he may be a guy that's going to take some time to get in. I just think he was pretty much done at 29-30. You can make a case there, though. For 11 years, he was one of the best pitchers in the game. I just think when you look at his total numbers, he's below some guys who've had really high peaks without the longevity, guys like Johan Santana, Brett Saberhagen, maybe Tim Lincecum, a lot of pitchers who are great for a while. I just didn't see the back half of his career being that good. Of course, he threw a ton of innings at an early age, and I'm sure that caught up to him. I mean, he was in the big league rotation at 19 and 20. For CC, it was kind of easy for me. I tend to think the easier you can make a case for somebody, the more he's a Hall of Famer. And I look at this. He's one of three left-handers in history with 250 wins and 3,000 strikeouts. The others are Steve Carlton and Randy Johnson. So, you know, he's kind of a throwback in terms of the way he took the ball year after year. And again, he's a guy back half of his career, not that great, but he kept taking the ball. So he started compiling these strikeout numbers and win totals that I think get him over the hump in terms of the Hall of Fame.
Well, it's funny because you and I are on the same page in terms of both going for CeCe and not going for King Felix. But you said something that, you know, raised my eyebrows. You said basically, and I know he came up young, 19 or so, and basically after 11 years, he kind of flamed out. But let's bring that to Mattingly, who, imagine if Don Mattingly had, I know it's a different position player versus a pitcher, but if Mattingly had 11 years, Don Mattingly would have been in the Hall of Fame 15 years ago. So it's almost like you're minimizing 11 years. 11 years is pretty good.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, my general point is, you know, 10 years, you should have a 10-year peak. You know, I know a lot of people will look at 4, 5, 6 years. I tend to be a little longer than that.
And
yeah, listen, I think he's a borderline guy. He's one of those guys that might grow on me as the years go by. I mean, let's face it. We look at starting pitching in today's game, and the guys who pitch 200 innings, I mean, they look like Walter Johnson and Christy Mathewson now because nobody's doing it. So the more years go by, the better I think King Felix looks. So, I'd have to look at and compare it to some of the other guys that I mentioned who are not in the Hall of Fame, who had peaks but not a lot of proficiency over the years. Like a Saberhagen, like a Santana, there's a lot of those guys. And I thought he was really close, just a little bit short. I haven't ruled him out in terms of future ballots.
Okay.
BT, it's Alan Fan. We're talking with Tom Verducci of MLB Network. They're going to have the exclusive announcement tonight, the Hall of Fame election results. Last one for me, Tom, on the Hall of Fame specifically, then we'll get into some free agent stuff. How much do you value postseason success? We kicked around the idea of Andy Pettitte, who for my money was one of the best postseason pitchers I've ever seen on the Yankee dynasty in the 90s. Where do you value postseason when voting for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, to me, it's like being back in middle school where you do an assignment and you get extra credit for it. You know, if it's not that great, it's not like your markets gets knocked down. But if you do a good job with extra credit, yes, it adds to your case. So that's the way I look at postseason. Like looking at Billy Wagner, I know people look at his 10 whatever it is ERA in the postseason. It's only like 11 two-thirds innings. It's a very small sample size. I don't hold that against him. But when I see someone like Carlos Beltran and the numbers that he puts up, his slash line in the postseason is one of the best of all time. Yeah, that can help you get over the edge. There's no doubt about that. I mean, even CeCe, you know, he had his moments in the postseason, that great series against the Angels in 09. But in general, his ERA is a lot higher in the postseason than it is in the regular season. So I don't think he gets extra credit necessarily for the postseason.
Yeah.
But some guys do. So that's the way I look at it. I won't hold it against you if it's a really small sample. I mean, Ted Williams had 200 in the postseason. Do I hold that against them? Of course not.
No.
But if you do well, I think it does definitely. Listen, the guys who change history, you're talking about the David Ortiz of the world, right? The guys who change history with postseason play, that means something when it comes to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, even Willie Mays' OPS is under 700. There's a lot of examples of guys who just wasn't commensurate with what they did over the course of their career, the regular season to the postseason. So, Tom, before we get some remaining free agent names, Pete, I want to ask you this. 30 years you've been doing this. Do you have a favorite Hall of Fame speech? Were you there when Rizzuto spoke?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay. I was not there for Rizzuto, you know, maybe because it's fresh in my mind because of his untimely death, but Ricky Henderson I thought was great. I mean, he was one of my all-time favorite players. I loved covering him. He was just a real gentleman, a great guy to be around. Loved the game of baseball. My favorite story out of Ricky, I remember I went to write a story on him when he was playing for the Newark Bears. He must have been 43 or 44 years old playing independent baseball. And he was he was taking a hotel room in New York and commuting to Newark. He was getting paid $3,000 a month by the Newark Bears, and he was paying $4,000 in rent in New York. So he was literally paying to play independent baseball at the age of 43. How great is that?
That's awesome.
So that's a personal favorite of mine.
That's a good one, man. All right, so listen, he's got a long way to go. Maybe he gets to 500 home runs, and maybe someday we're talking about Pete in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if we're talking about Pete back in Queens, though. I mean, obviously, it seems like he's gone. Can that change? Can the Mets pivot? Can they find a little common ground, or is it over?
I think the door is still open. I think a lot of this is up to Steve Cohen. And if the market, and it looks like it's not developing at all for him in terms of years and length, if it continues to be this dry, I think there's a point where, you know, the Mets go back to Pete and say, hey, we'll take you back on a short-term deal, 3-4 year deal, maybe an opt-out after 1 or 2 years. You can go out and hit the market again if you want. But I could see the emotional investment. And even on, you know, on paper, I mean, why wouldn't you want Pete Alonso in your lineup, right? I mean, he's a guaranteed 35, 40 home run guy every year. You just can't find those guys anywhere. But I thought going in, guys, that his market was just not going to be as good as he thought. Just the way the game is today, front offices just don't value those one-dimensional sluggers who play the corner position. And I think, you know, David Stearns is a guy who wants a team like he had in Milwaukee, where he's got a lot of young people with athleticism, get play multiple positions, a lot of flexibility. That's not Pete Alonso, right? But I think in terms of the owner and what Pete means to this team and having, you know, a right-handed bat with Soto, perfect, right? If you get him back on a 2-3-4 year deal, I think that's possible because I don't think his market is that great. Here's the example I use, guys, in terms of Pete Alonso. Going back to 93, and that sounds like ages ago, right? Remember Cecil Fielder? He had the Tigers over a barrel. He had a trade request in, and so they've signed him to an extension. They made him the second highest paid player in baseball behind only Barry Bonds. He got paid on home runs and RBIs. His numbers are almost identical to Pete Alonso. Nobody does that anymore. So his comps now, Pete Alonso, is Fielder, it's Ryan Howard, it's Mo Vaughn. It's these corner infielders who you don't want to buy their decline in their 30s, and that's why he's not seeing that 6-7 year deal.
But there's not one other team. I mean, the Mets offered him the 3 years, $68 or $70 million, which I thought was fair market value, if not over that, Tom. I need to see who else is involved. Where are the other teams that are even offering Pete anything? And if they do, is it really going to be better than 3 for $68 or $70 million at this point?
I don't think there's a team that would want him at this point more than the New York Mets. I mean, I thought he'd be a great fit in Seattle. I know it's a terrible park to hit in. Even Pete, his numbers would go down there, but they don't look like they're spending that kind of money. You know, the Blue Jays would send Tom there. That's a guy who hit 44 home runs. When you look at the deferred money, that's only about a 17 mil per year AAV for a 44 home run guy. So, you know, whether it's Toronto's still involved there, I don't know. Whether it's Cincinnati, I do think the Mets are still the best fit. And I'm Pete, man. I would come back 3 times 25 with an opt-out after one. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little pride thing, which is tough to calculate, and a little ego thing. I get it. I mean, he's a human being. So maybe that's what's dissuading him from doing that, although maybe he changes his mind. But I want to explore the Toronto angle a little bit more, because me and Sal were doing this the other day, Tom, where, all right, they've been trying to give money away for years. They try to get Sasaki, try to get Ohtani. We know what's that. You know better than anybody. So now they got Santander, who I don't love anyway. He's not a good fielder, not a lot of juice on the bases, but he can hit, and he's a switch hitter. But do you think now it's more likely that they try to entice Pete, even if it's a 1 year with a high AAV, and they roll it back and don't try to trade Vladdy, and say, hey, Vlad, look, we brought in this guy, Santander. We got Pete, a little pop. You think that they try to go for the gusto, or do you think that they're 100% out on Pete at this point?
I wouldn't say 100% out. I mean, listen, they've been trying to give away their money, and people just aren't taking it, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's Pete or whether it's Bregman, I still think they have another move left in them. They've got the money to spend. This team put a lot of money into refurbishing that ballpark.
It looks good.
Yeah, no, and Vlad has told them he wants a deal, an extension, or stop talking before spring training. Now, whether he holds to that, I don't know, but you have to have contingencies and think, well, maybe he's not signing extension here. If it's not done by now, when is it going to get done? I wouldn't rule Toronto out. They've been very aggressive. The general manager there, I think he knows he's got to produce a winner, at least close to a postseason team this year. It's a huge market with a great baseball history there. I don't know what their plan is, because I have not seen an apparent plan from the Toronto Blue Jays for the last couple of years. And I think they're in scramble mode right now, so I rule nothing out with Toronto.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the MLB Hall of Fame tonight.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Here you go. Good job. Tom Verducci, MLB Network, Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.